Yeah. as
he
certainly
purusha,
purusha
man
bottom
burden
sirasa
on the head
guru
heavy
Udvahan
carry
tom
on
that
Skandina
on
the shoulder,
sa,
he,
adapte,
puts,
sata,
similarly,
sarva,
all,
pratikriya,
counteraction.
Translation:
a man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it to be too heavy, sometimes gives relief to his head by putting the burden on his shoulder, and this way he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. Wherefore, this is a good description of an attempt to transfer a burden from one place to another. When one gets tired of keeping a burden on his head, he will place it on his shoulder. This does not mean that he has become freed from the strength of bearing a burden. Similarly, human society in the name of civilization is creating one kind of trouble to avoid another kind of trouble. In contemporary civilization, we see that there are many automobiles manufactured to carry us swiftly from one place to another, but at the same time we have created other problems. We have to construct so many roads, and yet these roads are insufficient to cope with automatic congestion and traffic jams. There are also the problems of air pollution and fuel shortages. The conclusion is that the processes we manufacture to counteract or minimize our distresses do not actually put up an end to our pains. It is all simply illusion. We simply place the burden from the head to the shoulder. The only real way we can minimize our problems is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God and give ourselves up to His protection. The Lord, being all-powerful, can make arrangements to mitigate our painful life in material existence. Narada continues, oh, you who are free from all sinful activity, no one can counteract the effects of fruit of activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness. All activities due to our ignorance. When we have a troublesome dream, not really with a troublesome hallucination, one can counteract the dream only by waking. Similar to material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. Unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we can't live in such dreams. For the ultimate solution to all problems is to awaken to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, there are two kinds of fruit of activity. We can place the burden on the head, or we can place it on the shoulder, actually keeping the burden in any place the same. The transferal, however, is taking place under the name of counteraction. In this connection, Prahlad Maharaj said that the fools and rascals in the material world plan so gorgeously for bodily comfort without knowing that such arrangements, even if successful, are only maya. People are working hard day and night for the illusory happiness of the body. This is not a way to achieve happiness. One has to get out of this material entanglement and return home back to Godhead. That is real happiness. The Vedas therefore enjoin, don't remain in the darkness of this material world. Go to the light of the spiritual world. To counteract the excess of this material body, one has to take on another distressed condition. Both situations are almost illusion. There is no gain in taking on one trouble to counteract another trouble. The conclusion is that one cannot be perpetually happy so long as one exists in this material world. The only remedy is to get out of this material world altogether and come back to Godhead. Translation: a man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it to be too heavy, sometimes gives a relief to his head by putting the burden on his shoulder, and this way he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. Oh, you who are free from sinful activity, no one can counteract the effects of fruit of activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness. All activity is due to our ignorance. What we have, when we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. One can counteract a dream only by waking. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. Unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be related to such dreams. For the ultimate solution to all problems, we must awaken to Krishna consciousness. So, here, Narada Muni actually gives a little conclusion. And he shows that the endeavors in the material world will continue as long as we don't find a real solution. So, example is given of carrying a burden on your head, a weight. So then it gets heavy, so you put it on your shoulder. And when it gets too heavy on your shoulder, then you put it in your hands. When it's too heavy there, then you put it on the other shoulder. So you transfer the weight from one place to the other. This does not actually solve the problem. It gives temporary relief. But nevertheless, you still have to carry the burden. So, of course, the solution is to get rid of the burden completely, not simply to put it in a different place. In any case, when you put it in another part of the body, you still get tired ultimately. You get a little relief from one part of the body and you put it in another part of the body. So this image is used to show the hopelessness of maintaining a body in the material world. To maintain the body, we have burdens. We have to work and do activity of all sorts. So we do one activity, and when we get tired of that, then we stop that activity. But then we have to do something else again. We have to keep changing our activities when we get tired of one, going to another. But nevertheless, we have to keep working and working and working. So that is one way in which one can explain this example. Or, of course, another way of explaining it is going from body to body. We don't like one body, so we change our body, we get another body, we try that out. But we get the same problems in the next body. Then we change it, and we don't like that body because we've got problems, so we go to another body. But then we find, again, we have to work and work and work in that body also. Of course, the problems may be heavier or lighter. The illusion is there that in one body we're happy and one we're suffering. So the burden may look greater in one body and lesser in another body. Or at one time in life, a burden may appear to be less, another time heavier or whatever. So that type of appearance is there at least. In any case, even if we have a happier existence in the material world, we're still bound by certain conditions. That is, we still have to get old, we still have to die, and then we still have to get another body. So we really haven't gotten rid of the weight, we transferred it, and we got a little relief, that's all. In this way, the existence of the material world and all the things we do don't solve the problem. So, then we have spiritual life. So if we take to the path of karma, yoga, etc., then we seem to get relief because we minimize the sin and we maximize the punya, and therefore life after life we live comfortably. So this appears to be a little bit of a solution. But as I said, actually it's not a real solution because we still have problems of birth and death and getting new bodies again. And you still have to work in the material world to maintain yourself. So yes, the problems are a little bit less, but the problems are still there. So that is the maximum you can do. You can't get rid of the burden. You can maybe make it a little lighter, that's all. So that is the process of karma yoga. Ultimately, it is not a real solution. It is a temporary solution. Again, you have to take up another body and work in the material world. So it is not a final solution of getting rid of the burden completely. So to get rid of the burden completely, then we have these other processes like jnana, yoga, and bhakti. Of these processes, of course, jnana and yoga are not really complete, because they also depend on bhakti to get the results, final results. If they don't have bhakti in them, then they actually don't solve the problem also, and we remain in the material world. So the only process of solving the problem actually is bhakti. It is through bhakti that we can get liberation and we can get to the spiritual world. This is the process that actually works. And this means we get rid of the burden of material bodies and maintaining those material bodies. If we don't follow that process, then we continue to take bodies in the material world. If we do a little bit of bhakti and we do a lot of jnana and yoga, yes, we can get liberation. If we don't do the bhakti and we do the jnana and yoga, still we have to come back to the material world again. So it is not, these processes are not really complete. They're not a real solution. So if we do bhakti, then we actually come to a final solution of getting rid of the burden completely. So this, of course, was the case of Prachinabharti. He was absorbed in doing sacrifices for material gain and material comforts. So this was not a real solution to the problems of life. The king, of course, is obligated to institute such things for the population in general, because people demand comforts of the material body, etc. So he did this, but he became overly attached to this and he didn't see anything else. So Narada Muni's purpose is to also point out that for this, the king, he has to actually do more than simply do his duty and institute Varnashram. He actually has to become a devotee of the Lord and worship the Supreme Lord with devotion. This will solve the problem. You should not be under the illusion that simply doing the Karma Yoga will bring about his perfection of life. So that is the message that Narada Muni is giving. So he uses this very nice example here to show the futility of working in the material world. All the types of work we do, if they do not include bhakti, ultimately are temporary solutions to our problems. They're patchwork solutions. They don't really solve the problem. So, of course, behind this we see that though we may get temporary relief, the bigger picture is there, and that we have all sorts of karmas to deal with. Karmas, upper up and upper up, the karmas to deal with. And they will keep putting burdens on us all the time. They'll put circumstances on us that we don't particularly like, we don't want. And we have no control over that. So, and even if we do good karmas, and we do punyas, as was the case of Prachinabharti, still, it creates a burden in the sense that it forces us to take another body so that we have to do activity. So we're caught up in the material world with the body. The body is forced to do activities. The activities automatically give karmic results and force us into new bodies. So this is another type of burden that we have to accept. Once we accept a material body, then we have the additional burdens of trying to maintain the body through activity, and ultimately getting karma for that, and then having to suffer different circumstances beyond our control. So this is all ensuing upon the fact that we accept the material body. So the solution is to finally, if we don't like the situation in the material world, is get rid of the material body. So that is the first option, and that is the goal of jnana and yoga. Let us stop the functions of the body and the mind and the intelligence and all this. And then the Atma is free, and we become peaceful. But to do that, those processes must also take the help of bhakti. They get their shakti from bhakti also. So they can only deliver us and give us liberation if they include some small amount of bhakti in them. So preferable to that, of course, is simply to do bhakti. And we get free of the material world, etc. But we also develop a spiritual body and we dwell in the spiritual world. So this is the, of course, the option which Narada Muni is giving the practice of bhakti. So it is easier and it is independent. We don't have to depend on other processes like karma or jnana or yoga. Quicker, and it gives a more satisfying result. So that is why Narada Muni here is recommending this process rather than simply jnana or yoga to solve the problems of the material body.
word is spelled by the Atma, not body.
Ultimately. Yes. The jiva is ultimately the experiencer. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the Atma itself ultimately cannot suffer in one sense, because it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be caught, it cannot be burned, etc. Nothing can really happen to it. But it experiences pain because it identifies with the material body, and the material body is going through reactions of what we call pain, etc. So because of identification of the body, we get all these negative experiences. And of course we get positive experiences in the form of material happiness because of identification with the material body. Those positive experiences of happiness are also simply linked to identification with material things.
This one also applies to the devotees, who sometimes is not able to concentrate on the services. If you're paying your service, like shifting the mind from one service to another service, one type to another country.
Well, if its motivation is actually ultimately material, that's pretty the same thing. He's trying to find a material situation of comfort or happiness. So you try to find it one place, and this one you go to somewhere else or whatever, and try something else. Yeah. So of course, the devotee should be detached from material happiness and try to get his happiness from serving the Lord, which can be done in any case anyway.
But when we choose to take up the path of bhakti, but still, because having born in this material world and having some relationships and commitments in this material world, so much of distractions and disturbances can come in. Though we dedicate ourselves to bhakti, how to overcome this? Because some sort of expectations are there from other sources.
Well, Krishna says one has to tolerate situations in the material world. We have to become detached from situations of the material body. Of course, the positive way of that is becoming attached to Krishna. That's all.
But still, we are experiencing the sufferings of others, depending on us.
Well, if we have attachment to other people materially, then that will take place, obviously.
Sometimes they are foolish and majestic, and they want to keep the burden, they try to give up the body, they commit suicide. That will solve all the problems.
Yeah, well, the temporarily solves the problem because it gets rid of the body. It doesn't get rid of the karma, however. So therefore, they're still stuck with misery, which they have to get sooner or later again in another body. So it doesn't solve the problem again. It temporarily shifts the burden, that's all.
Just material attachment is because the attachment is not a problem for us. On the other hand, if it is the motive of spiritual attachment, definitely there is no
attachment.
Uh-huh. When you say Prabhu's response, like material attachment, as much as your attachment materially, such problems are going to be there. But in the same person, if you have spiritual attachment, such problems are not.
Yeah, spiritual attachment is no problem. It gets rid of material attachments and material problems.
Sometimes spiritual attachment is rooted by anticipation. And this spiritual service is better than this one. You can get the understanding, not satisfaction getting the particular.
Well, yeah, the jiva itself may have certain preferences for different types of services. Then again, because of material conditioning, we may have certain preferences also. So the material things obviously are not really genuine. They're based on material conditioning only. Of course, the extreme of that is we're so conditioned we don't like any bhakti at all. And we may like this bhakti, but not that bhakti. So that, whereas a devotee who has greater attraction for the Lord, any bhakti is good. All bhakti is good. All bhakti is wonderful. Because he gets a positive experience from any service to the Lord, whatever that service is.
But someone knowing that there are limitations and considering that they can do some other service better than what they are doing, is it not good to just to have some, or is it good to just cling on without cling on to the service?
Well, the expertise of the service is simply how much it pleases Krishna. Well, if it pleases Krishna, one becomes satisfied. If you don't know if you're satisfied or not, then you must be completely like unconscious or something.
Yeah.